So let me begin by maybe backing up a little bit and giving you some history on Life Centers. It started in 1982 as a 24-hour helpline. And so it was 7-8 years after the Roe v. Wade abortion law. And there was a group of individuals in the greater Indianapolis area that sensed a real calling that we needed to provide an opportunity for mostly women, but young men and women, looking for answers. And much of us, I would think, we scratch our heads and say, how in the world can anybody be confused between whether that's a life or not? But let me share you the reality is that there's a lot of people out there that don't know that, and here's why. You think about it, if you're not in a Christian environment, if you're not in a church environment, you're growing up in a world that is void of Christ. You're void of what Scripture teaches, and so you're going to school. You're being taught, unfortunately, by many people that have a secular view of the world. And so in their biology classes, in their science classes, they're talking about the development of a fetus. And that fetus can't see, it can't feel pain, it has, virtually it can't exist without being born. And so all through their life, they're hearing this. And sadly, this was just shared with me a couple weeks ago. It's not lost that it exists within the church. There was a lady that came to one of our programs. We have a program that's called SOAR. It stands for Spiritually Oriented Abortion Recovery. And this is a program that we offer for men and women who have been part of an abortion. And we bring them through. It's a 13-week long series of them being able to lift that burden that's been on their shoulders and their backs for years and years and years. It's a very, very deep and a very, very serious program, because what we have learned is that those who have been a part of an abortion that heard all of these lies for all these years, and then once they realize the decision that they made when they were in their teens or early 20s can't be undone, it is a shame unlike anything I've ever seen. And so many of these people go through life with this shame and this guilt. Even after they become a Christian, they feel that they can never separate themselves from that horrible act that they did. And so a couple of weeks ago, I learned that one of the ladies that came through the SOAR program, while in church, her and her husband had an abortion. And what she told the lead person that runs this for us, she said, I sat in those pews for 15 years. I never once heard my church talk about the issue of abortion. And when we had an unexpected pregnancy, which I've never figured that one out, unexpected pregnancy, but we have two kids already, and they made an appointment, and they had an abortion. And only through a series of God interventions that she came across someone from Life Centers and shared with her about this program. This was a tough situation because she had two children and she made a decision that can't be undone. And she was a little angry because no one ever told her this. Everyone on the outside, she felt, lied to her and her husband. That the life inside of her womb isn't a life. It's a mass of tissues and all that. And sadly, in her church, no one ever talked about it. And that's not uncommon, though. I'll be quite frank with you, especially in today's environment. I had a meeting about a year and a half ago with the pastor of a very large church in Indianapolis. And he said, Tom, I have to tell you, he said, I don't know when the last time I've been able to talk from the pulpit about abortion. I go, well, why is that? He said, because I know that the statistics are 1 in 5 have been a part of an abortion. And if I'm looking out of my congregation that's got 5,000 and 6,000 people, my mind, I'm thinking, I've got 1,000 people that are in these pews and these pulpits that have been a part of an abortion. How do I talk about that without ripping that scab off? And then also, am I going to have the resources and people available to meet her or him to talk about that horrible decision that they made 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? And so what? It's really cool because what he did is there was a person by the name of Steve Arterburn. If you've not heard his message before, he's an awesome speaker. He was part of an abortion when he was in his teens. And he convinced his girlfriend that she should get an abortion. And his testimony is powerful. So what this pastor did is he brought in Steve to be able to speak from it from a position of authority, but also from a position of someone who went through it. And then the hope and grace that's on the other side that God provides everybody, whether it's that sin or any other sin. My phone went blank on me. Here we go. Okay, so Life Center's history, 1982. We went by the name of Crisis Pregnancy. A lot of pregnancy centers across the country used that name, Crisis Pregnancy. Then in about 2007, 2008, they changed the name, and they moved away from Crisis Pregnancy, which was probably a good move, because the name or the word crisis has a connotation to it that doesn't belong with the same word of pregnancy, because we don't look at a pregnancy as a crisis. And so the board at the time chose the name of Life Centers as a name for the community of churches and our partners. We go by the name of Pregnancy Choices Indy in the centers in Indianapolis. So I know it's a little confusing. I wouldn't have done it that way if I were there, but that's the decision they made. I was looking at the words of one of the songs that was being sung, and it used the word compassion. And that's our tagline, ironically. And maybe Kevin picked this song because of our tagline, is we choose compassion. And that's a really important point that I try to make when I speak to people, is many times when these clients come into our centers, they're lonely, they're afraid, they're confused. Many, many of them are coming from a single-parent household. Very, very, very few come from an intact two-parent household. So they've got no support system around them, nobody there to come alongside them that they feel is going to come along and tell them the truth. But also, more importantly, it's going to be with them when they make the decision for life. And so they come into our centers. About 50% of the girls that come into our centers came in because someone referred them to us. So think about that. I came from a world in the business world before I came to Life Centers, where 50% of the customers that would walk into our stores, if they came in because someone referred them, that would be great, because it takes the pressure off the selling side, and it also tells you that you've got a decent reputation. So 50% of the girls that come into our centers came in because somebody in their neighborhood, in their church, in their school said, if you think you might be pregnant, you need to go see the pregnancy center there at 10th and Arlington, or you need to go see the pregnancy center, you know, fill in the location. That is huge. Because then all of a sudden we become a trusted source. So when she comes into our center, and our tagline is we choose compassion, we listen to her. Rarely is the conversation more on what we need to talk about. She comes in and she sits down and we say, what's going on? Tell me your story. And the girls just open up. And from there is we build the relationship. We're not there to condemn. We're not there to judge. Many of the times that the client leaves, there's a section at the bottom of the form, and they can write whatever they want. I'm not kidding you. 25, 30% of the time, they'll use this word, I didn't feel judged. Because about 30% of our counselors / staff are post-abortive. They've been through it. So when that girl on the other side is telling one of our counselors or one of our center directors, you know, you don't know what I'm going through, and she looks across the table and goes, oh, sweetheart, yes, I do. Let me tell you my story. It neutralizes the conversation. And that's a powerful way that God has used her story. Even though it was one of our center directors has got an awesome story, but God is using her story to help in what she's doing and meeting the needs of these young girls. It's just an incredible, incredible story that she's got. So in 2017, we saw almost 8,000 people that walked through our door, men, women, and children. 8,000 people. And of that, about 1,600 babies were born of clients that came into our centers. Yeah, it's a great praise. Now I know some of you are probably sitting there, okay, I'm going to do the math. 8,000, only 1,600 babies were being born. What happened to the other 6,500? Well, not everybody that comes in is pregnant. They take a pregnancy test, it's negative. Not everyone that comes in is even there for a pregnancy test. Sometimes they're coming in because they saw a sign and they saw peer counseling, and right then and there, the Holy Spirit put on their heart, say, there's someone in there that wants to talk to you. And she'll pull in the parking lot and come in and sit down and say, I don't know why I'm here, but I saw your sign and I needed to talk to somebody. And we're trained enough to know that we know why she's there. But we don't immediately go into the gospel presentation either, because that's one thing we're very careful, is that through our process, when we're asking her questions and she's answering them, we'll ask her, hey, would you be interested to know about what the Bible says about what we're going to talk about? If she says no, I'm not interested, we take no. We don't push it, because of the fact we have a 50% referral rate, which means we're not trying to push our doctrine on them because the time wasn't right. So often they come back, we ask them again, how are things going? Because we've got the notes. How are things going at work? You said last time that you might be interested in going and looking for a church, and we gave you a couple church names that are in your community or around your house. How did that go? And we'd ask again, would you like to know a little bit more about what God says? Or, hey, can I at least pray for you? We ask permission all the time. So 1,600 babies born. We had 88 people that came into our centers that accepted Christ as their Savior. And I'm going to trip over this. I know I am. I'm going to stand out here if it's all right. So 88, someone asked me this when I shared this at our banquet in April. Well, gee, that doesn't seem like a lot. I said, well, let me put it this way. I grew up in a church that was a pretty fundamentalist church. I had the scripture preached to me on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, sometimes on visitation, sometimes in youth group. I didn't become a Christian until I was about 11 years old. So from the time that I could at least maybe, I knew just as I am verses backwards and forwards, but by the time that I got to 11 really was when God was preparing my heart. So imagine someone coming into our center for the very first time and hearing when we ask, would you like to hear more about what God says about this? And then you have that conversation with her about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to live a life of decency and morality and abstinence, all these things. And at the end, she says, I'd like to know more about this. And then the conversation pivots a different way, and she makes a decision for Christ right then and there. I bet you, Kevin, you can understand that. You've had, you know, people sitting in these pews for years and years and years, and then come and you say, you know what? I think I need to become saved. So we celebrate that. We celebrate that. So when people hear about Life Centers, they think, you know, it's anti-abortion and we're pro-life, and we are. But I will tell you that in 2000, in the 21st century, in 2016, 17, things started to change in the society, in the cultural landscape. And I remember having this conversation at our staff meeting about 2 years ago. And this was, I think it was around the time where Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner. And I said, be prepared that there's going to be a man that's going to come into our centers and ask for a pregnancy test. Now, they may be a plant. They may be fake, which we're dealing with that right now. A lot of fake clients coming in trying to find ways to be able to get it out on the news to shut us down. You know, we have spiritual warfare just like the church does. And that wasn't a week later that someone came into one of our centers and said he wanted a pregnancy test. And the center director handled it brilliantly, because before we could administer a pregnancy test, we asked them, are they experiencing symptoms of, and there's about 5 or 6 symptoms. Because some of those symptoms may exhibit past scenarios where there might be what they call an ectopic pregnancy. So we're very careful that we don't provide any services like a pregnancy test, definitely not an ultrasound, on persons that may have other medical issues. And so we refer them to seek immediate medical care. So we couldn't give the pregnancy test because they had circled 2 of the symptoms. But what it did is it gave our center director the opportunity to speak into this person, him, about who we are. But more importantly, she stopped and she says, tell me your story. To me, that was the ultimate example of compassion. Most of the time, he's probably been ran out. He's kooky, he's goofy, he's crazy, these wires are crossed, all of these things. And what he did is he shared with her that this was the first time in the last year that he's been going through this challenge that someone asked them, what can we do for you? Tell me your story. He said, my parents don't talk to me anymore. My church immediately kicked me out. All my friends started to walk away from me. You were the only person in the last year or so that had the courage, but also had the compassion to sit down with me and say, tell me your story. Now, I don't know what happened after that. We gave them information about who we are and what they do, but I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit planted a seed in that person's heart. And my prayer is that they reconcile that and they find a way back to truth and they find a way back to God's love and grace. So 21st century, it's just not about pregnancy anymore. We're getting situations on domestic abuse. We're getting situations where we're finding out that a client's being brought in by somebody and they are being trafficked. That's an ugly situation, my friends. It's a horrible situation. And so what's challenging for us, and what I could ask from each of you, is in your prayer time, is that you specifically pray for our center directors and our peer counselors. These peer counselors, we have about 125 to 135 volunteers every week that show up at our centers either for 4 or 8 hours, and it's of their own time, and they serve on the front lines. They need your prayer. They need your prayer, because there's many times that they're sitting across from that person and they're pouring their heart out, and our peer counselors trying to penetrate and let them know that there is hope, that there is grace, and that we're here to help, not just at the time of the pregnancy test, but we're here with you throughout your term. We're here for you after you have your baby. We get very involved with her. We throw her baby showers, and then every 2 or 3 months, she can come back to our center where we provide material support. That's the diapers and the formula, blankets, and things of that nature. But we're not a handout agency, because every time that she comes back for those material needs, it involves a conversation. We just don't hand things through a window. She comes back into the counseling room, and the counselor's looking at the notes, and she's catching up with her. She's building that relationship, because we want her to know that we're here for her, because she's not getting that in the outside world right now. Hence why we get such a high referral rate, is because she's out in the community saying, you know what, they're not some witch doctor, they're not some kook organization that's going to try to bait and switch you, they're for real. So 8,000 people came in last year, and so my request to you, and it is whenever I speak, is to please take a moment in your prayer life and pray for these center directors, these volunteers, because they are on the front line, and it's not just about pregnancy tests anymore. It's about a lot of ugly, dark things that are in our society right now. So lastly, I'll just talk a little bit about life centers and how we look at ourselves as the extension of the church. Many, many times, we'll have a client that'll come in, and she'll indicate that she's part of a church. Sometimes she names the church, sometimes she doesn't. But what's important about that is that she knew where to come, but unfortunately, in some cases, they don't feel comfortable about going to their church. Because I think I heard it mentioned here earlier about maybe some of the judgment or maybe the false accusations, and there's not they feel that there's not a degree of anonymity. And I will tell you, I have to agree with them on some aspects. So put yourself in the mind of a 17-year-old girl or 17-year-old boy that's in a church, that's in a youth group, very active, very involved, and we know how sin enters into our lives. And she thinks that she might be pregnant. Do you really think that she's going to go to her youth pastor and talk about this? As much as I love youth pastors, the reality is they won't. Because of the shame and the fear. However, because the church has been very vocal about their support of life centers, she knows that. And she knows that she can go see any one of our 8 centers and know that it's going to be anonymous. There's a high degree of ensuring that their privacy is protected. And so in a way, we're an extension of the church, because what she's going to hear in that counseling room, when we ask her, would you like to know what the Bible says about whatever situation she's in, and she says yes, we know, and we want the church to know, that she's going to hear probably what the youth pastor would have shared with her, or probably what the senior pastor would have shared with her, or somebody in the church would have shared. We know that, and I'm grateful that the church knows that, because the reality is that the church knows that they can't handle everything. And so by partnering up with like-minded ministries, like Life Centers, we become an extension of the church. And we make sure, and like I'm doing now, is I let the church congregation know that this situation occurs, but thank you for taking a stance on the issue of life, and you do it with love, and you do it with compassion, and you do it without being judgmental, but you're letting people know that we partner with Life Centers to be on the front lines. Well, somebody in the pews, somebody in the congregation is going to hear that. And it may not be today or tomorrow or 2 weeks or 2 months from now, but God has planted that seed. And if that situation were to arise where she felt, uh-oh, something's not right, I need to see somebody, we believe that God has put that in her heart to, yeah, you're right, you do need to see somebody. And you remember when you were in the youth group and such talked about Life Centers and the work they're doing, or you even actually came and you did a service project in one of the centers, she's going to remember that. She's going to come back to the center, and our statistics show that happens. So I'll just close with this. Kevin talked about Planned Parenthood and they're the largest abortion provider. But you may or may not hear abortion rates are going down. But I'm just going to tell you that surgical abortion rates are going down. That is true. But there's 2 types of abortions now. There's that, and there's what they call the RU486 pill. And so what Planned Parenthood is doing now is that if a person comes in and she's pregnant, she has 2 choices. She can do the medical abortion, or she can do the surgical abortion. Well, the medical abortion is less expensive, so what they do is they give her a pill. They say, you take this pill, and then 24 hours later, you take a second pill. And what it is, it's a heavy, heavy, heavy dose of estrogen. And so what it does is it induces a miscarriage. Sadly, we see a lot of those clients, because for those of you who understand what a miscarriage does and what it means, is that they're coming into our centers and saying, I need to make an appointment for an ultrasound. Well, that's a pretty unusual request, to just come in and ask for an ultrasound. Usually it's part of a process, because we determine first if you're pregnant. And then when we start to uncover, well, what brings you here today? Why immediately? And she says, well, I went to Planned Parenthood last week, and I just need to see whether or not the pills worked. Well, that's pretty shocking in and of itself, but you think about it, what a great opportunity for us to speak into her and to have her come back and talk about, you know, we don't do the ultrasound. That's not what we do at that point because it has a high degree of risk, and we don't do diagnostic ultrasounds. We just determine the age of the child. We record the heartbeat. That's another cool thing with technology. We have these ultrasound machines that we bought about 3 or 4 years ago. We were using 25-year-old machines, and I came from a world of technology. I worked for AT&T, and so I would see people come in to the stores, and they didn't have two pennies to rub together, but they made sure that their cell phone bill was paid. These kids are glued to these things. And so I wanted a machine that would be able to capture that image of that child and be able to send it to her electronically. But also, we do a WAV file that we record the heartbeat. So that picture is on her screensaver. That audio is on her phone. And she's sending that to all her friends. Well, that has a lot of good things about it. Every day she's looking at that. And more she's looking at that ultrasound picture and saying, that's a baby. Everyone's been lying to me. I'm hearing a heartbeat. So it's been that piece of the ministry has been awesome. But anyway, I do appreciate the time that you guys have afforded me. I love coming out here, and I just appreciate your support. And then on behalf of our staff and volunteers and board, we appreciate your stance of life and for being with us, because I tell you, it's easy to be on the other side. It's easy to say, well, you know, it's a choice. I don't want to get involved. It's messy. It's complicated. It is. It is messy. It is complicated. But I remember my pastor a couple years ago, he did a sermon for the entire year. It was on the entire book of the Bible. And I remember he and I are pretty good friends, and so we had him over for dinner one night, and he was talking about, and I was talking about the sermon, and that's the last thing pastors want to do is talk about work when it's free time. But I said, I loved what you said. I think it was Noah, around Moses or Noah time, I can't remember, but I love what he said. He said, God uses messed up people to tell a story. And I thought about that the whole time through the scripture, you know, whether it's Peter or Saul or David. I mean, he was after Christ's own heart, David, and look what he did. But he used his messed up people to tell a story. And so even though there's people that are coming around our center that are messed up, they're now going to have a story. They're going to have a story to be able to tell their kids, you know what? I went here and I made a decision for life. And I can't tell you how many times we have our walk run for life that's going to be coming up here. So keep an eye out for that. It's going to be in Lebanon. That people will bring their child up. He's 19, 20 years old, and said, I was at your center 20 years ago. I want you to meet my son. He's going to Purdue next year on a full-ride scholarship. Or some amazing story like that. It's just so cool, so cool. So anyway, my time is done. Thank you very much for turning the mic over to me. I appreciate all your support.